We're in 2 Peter chapter 2 this morning. 2 Peter chapter 2. Last week we wound up chapter 1. We talked about Scripture. We talked about Scripture came from holy men of God as they were moved by the Spirit. They did not write what they wanted to write. They wrote what they were inspired to write. And Peter wants to make sure that his readers understood that. Nobody gets a private interpretation, and that's talking about the writers. They didn't get to pick and choose. They didn't get to change the doctrine. That's why the whole Bible fits together like a puzzle. That's why nobody contradicts each other. If you allowed men to interpret what they were getting and write it in the way that they wanted to, we'd get what? Chaos, right? Today, if people throw their opinions in, what do we get? Chaos. You've got nothing but a contradiction. And Peter says that wasn't the case. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit. He goes into chapter 2. Chapter 2 begins talking about false teachers. If God took holy men and recorded the Scriptures, then in other words, God says that's it. That's what you've got. But some people don't like that, do they? Because a lot of people don't like that. I can remember a few years ago, Joel Osteen was in the news. He was rebuking Paul. You remember that? The Apostle Paul. He was rebuking him, saying, you know, what he said, what he wrote in his book, it was wrong. And he shouldn't have said that. Can you imagine somebody rebuking the Apostle Paul? 1 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21, he was a holy man of God. He was moved by the Spirit. He wrote what God wanted him to write and not anything else. Chapter 2 opens up, you're going to have false teachers. You're going to have people twist these things, and they're going to do it to their own destruction. The first three verses of chapter 2 is what the rest of the chapter is about. What the rest of the chapter is about. So let's begin. Let's open it up. He says, verse 1, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth..." "And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." But, the first word, go back to what we talked about. In contrast to holy men of God being inspired, in stark contrast to that, this is what you've got. I also want to note, 2 Peter chapter 2 is very, very similar to the book of Jude. If God wrote the book of Jude and Peter wrote a whole chapter about something, you think it's important? You think God really wants us to take heed and realize, man, this is a problem? You see, sometimes today people don't buy into a whole lot of the false teacher business, and they kind of think that everybody's on the same road and they're headed toward the same place, and they're just kind of going different ways to get there, and that's not what Peter says. That's not what Peter says. He says there were false prophets among the people. Were, past tense, in the Old Testament times there were people that would rise up and they would claim to be prophets, but it was lies. You remember in 1 Kings chapter 18, Ahab was king, and Elijah went up on the mountain, and who did he challenge? Somebody tell me. Some prophets of who? Baal. There was 450 of them guys, right? And there was also, I think, 400 prophets of the grove. What did those kind of guys prophesy? Whatever the king wanted to hear, right? You remember Micaiah? Micaiah come on the scene a little later on, and kings didn't like Micaiah, did they? Why didn't he like Micaiah? Because he says he always prophesies evil against me. So he didn't like the prophet of God, but he wanted those other prophets because they would say whatever the king wanted to hear. We won't go into a lot of detail in Old Testament false prophets because Peter's going to do some of that in a little bit. But Peter says, listen, it's always been this way. Even when the law of Moses was handed down and all of these holy men were there and God was speaking to them, there was liars then. There were a lot of people then that claimed that God was speaking to them. He says, if it happened back then, don't you think it's still happening today? What was it the wise man said? There's nothing new where? Under the sun. It's not, is there? Everything that happened then, it still happens today. Nothing different. Nothing new. Peter wrote this 2,000 years ago. Same thing. The exact same thing is happening today. He says, there were false prophets then, even as there will be false teachers among you. There's going to be people that are going to be among you. He says, Christians. They're going to be there and they're going to teach false things. Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, in verse 28, and he says, take heed to yourselves and over the church. You know, God, Jesus bought that church with his blood. Why did he say that? Be careful. Be careful. Verse 29, because after my departing shall ravening wolves come in. Those people are going to rise from among you, he says. He says, they're not going to spare the flock. And he says, elders, you've got to watch this. People are going to rise up and they're going to teach things that are contrary to the Word of God. And they've always done that. And they have always continued to do that, and they are still doing that today. And if time stands another 100 years, people are going to continue to do that. Why do people want to teach false doctrine? We're going to go into greed is one big reason. But what's another reason today people change the Word of God? They don't like it, right? Yeah, that's right. Paul again told Timothy, people have itching ears. Listen, if you don't like something about the Word of God, can't you find a way to twist that and turn that to make it sound a little better? You always find a way. And the more you twist it and turn it to suit the people, what happens? More people, right? If you want to have a mega church today, you know what you do? Man, you make grace and love, and it doesn't matter what you do, when you do it, how you do it. You just come on in and you can do whatever you want to, and you're going to heaven. Yeah. Right? That's what happens. That's what happens. And Peter is warning us about that. And I know this morning's sermon I talked about we need to give people benefit of the doubt, and we do. We do. We don't need to belittle people. Sometimes we need to recognize someone that is trying to pull people away. And you know, sometimes the people being pulled away, sometimes they just don't know any better. And I'm not saying that excuses it and they're okay with God. I'm just saying, but a lot of times they don't know any better. They want to do what's right, but the condemnation here is on the false teachers. Because listen, people have a desire. Most people I know, they have a desire to want to do good. Most people, I believe that. Most people, I believe, they have a desire to want to go to heaven. Most people just don't know any better. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. Verse 2, he says, I bear them record. They have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. There's a lot of people I know today, they have a zeal for God, but they just don't have much knowledge to back it up. And what happens is, when they don't have any knowledge to back it up, what do they believe? The first thing they're told, it sounds good. And not because they're trying to search out and go against God, they buy into it and they follow it. Paul said in verse 3, Romans chapter 10, he says, because they're ignorant of the Word of God, they go about to establish their own righteousness. So they don't know what God says, so they try to do what they think is right. And that's not going to work, is it? So you see, that's where we've got to come in. If we have the truth, and I believe with all my heart, we have the truth. If people don't know any better, we need to approach it as such. Not attack them. Not come down upon them, you know, and treat them like they're the heel of your shoe. But we need to treat them as people that are unlearned. People that truly have a sincere heart, just don't know. You know, and maybe if we would approach it in that manner, maybe some more people would listen to us. Instead of approaching it in the matter, I'm a member of the Church of Christ, we're the only ones going to heaven, and if you're not in this church, you're going to burn. Well, can't do that, can we? You know, I've known people that's done that. I have known people sit down across the table and tell them, you're going to burn in hell if you're not a member of this church. I've told you this story before. I was preaching at a place. They called me and asked me to come up, had my lesson all together, walked in. An old man walked up to me in overalls. And he was a big old fella. And he says, I'm visiting here. And he says, one of my friends told me if I wasn't a member here, I was going to go to hell. And I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I don't want to go to hell. And I said, we talked for a minute. And I quickly went and sat down. And I changed my sermon that morning on the fly to preach to that man. That man's a Christian now. He's a Christian now. But not because somebody told him, and not because I was I was nothing. I'm just an instrument God used. Somebody told him, you're going to burn in hell if you're not a member of this church. Man, I don't know how we're getting anybody if that's the attitude that we have. That's not what Peter is condemning here. Peter is condemning people that are false teachers that are going out and they're winning the masses by telling them whatever it is that they think they want to hear. And let's continue to go and let's see what he says. He says, these people, they'll secretly bring in destructive heresies. How do you change a church? How could somebody change Willow Avenue? Think about that for a minute. Do you walk in one day and just redo everything? That's not how it happens, is it? What do? Baby steps, isn't it? Just little by little. And sometimes the problem that we face is those things sometimes happen and we think, it's just a little thing. But little things do what? They grow, don't they? Little things grow. And sometimes if we allow those little things that you think, maybe it's not a big deal and we let that go, well, then it's something else. These churches that used to be so faithful, why are they different now? Because they allowed the little things to go. They allowed people to secretly come in and change people's hearts and minds. If there's someone that is coming in here and they're trying to put things in people's ears and they're trying to change what people believe, you know what happens before long? If you're not careful, you've got a group that believes differently. And it may come to the point that you just got a complete split. And man, I've known people that's been through that, and that is a horrible, horrible thing. And I don't want that to ever happen. See, we've got to be on guard. There are people that will bring in secret things, and the Apostle Peter here calls them destructive heresies. Heresy. I looked up the word heresy. Heresy means that which is chosen. That which is chosen is what a heresy means. So in other words, it's your opinion. Does your opinion mean a whole lot? Think about that before you answer. Some people think, yes, my opinion means a lot because you don't know who I am. Your opinion doesn't amount to much in the eyes of God. You realize we need to understand that? That's what a heresy is. It's that which is chosen. God says this, but I don't really like that. I'm going to choose to do this. See, this over here, this suits me so much better, and this makes me feel so much better. And in fact, this is going to be far more popular than what God said. So we don't really want what God said. We want this. Peter says that's a destructive thing. Destructive thing. Destructive in the fact that it's going to doom you. If we come up and we're trying to push our opinion, man, that will doom you. And God wants us to have no part in that. And He's warning us about that. If someone comes into this assembly and they start telling you things that you've not heard before and you really don't believe, I'm going to encourage you to get your book out and check it. I want you to be like those Bereans. You search the Scripture and you make sure that's right. Don't you buy into something that sounds good. Because, man, I can tell you something that sounds good. You ever heard somebody that could sell ice to an Eskimo? You think there's people that can do that today in the preaching world? Oh, you better believe it. Man, it'll sound good. And man, you think, oh man, there's a lot of Bible there. And do you know in every false teaching, there's truth in it too? You ever thought about that? Sometimes when we think about false teaching, we think they don't teach anything that's true. That's not true at all. Because if you teach something that is just 180 degrees complete opposite, well, people's not going to buy into it. But if you take truth and you sprinkle in error here and there, what happens? Yeah, I agree. I remember Joe Wells one time, and this wasn't probably the something I probably should say, but he was talking about making brownies. He said, what if you took brownies and you mixed a little dog poo in with them? He said, would you notice? Some people might not. Do you want the brownies? No. He said, that's what false teachers do to the truth. They put something that doesn't belong. Maybe you don't notice it first, but if you put just a little, but what happens if you continue to put more? More. Oh, then it's going to get bad, isn't it? It's going to get bad. And you're going to notice it. But the problem is, don't ever put that little in. Watch what you're doing. Watch what other people are teaching. Watch what I teach. Don't think just because I teach it that it's the gospel truth. I promise you I'll never intentionally teach anything wrong, but you know, I've been corrected before. I've changed my mind on things before. Watch what everybody says. You're responsible for your salvation. What Paul said to the Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't blame it on somebody else. It falls on you. A lot of people were led astray because of this. Peter says they secretly bring in destructive heresies. He says some even deny the Lord that bought them. Now, think about that. Those are Christians. People say, oh, you can't fall from grace. Peter says there are some people that deny the Lord that bought them. When did the Lord buy you? When you obeyed the gospel and you received that blood in the waters of baptism, His blood is what purchased you, right? We don't understand that. That's what the Bible teaches. Acts 20, verse 28 teaches that. With His blood, He purchased the church, and you were part of that church. He says some people that had been bought, that had become Christians, they even get to the point that they deny the Lord. They renounce everything that they ever believed, and sometimes people follow that. So a lot of times in the first century, people would deny that Jesus was the Messiah. People would deny that He actually came in the flesh. You realize that? People say, oh, He was just a spirit. You know, we just saw a vision. It really wasn't Him. They would deny the fact that He resurrected from the grave, did they not? Yeah, multitudes of people. They made up everything under the sun. They took Him away. They hid Him, whatever it may be. People have always denied the Lord. And we've got to be careful about that. John says in 1 John and 2 John, if you deny the Lord, you're an antichrist. It's not some mythical creature that's going to come someday, you know, and wreak havoc. No, it's just people that simply deny the Lord. Peter says some false teachers, they were Christians. You see, they're arising from among you, and they've just changed their view on the Lord. There's a lot of people today, they've denied the Lord. There's a lot of people that have been members of the church that I know personally, and they have denied the Lord. Maybe they've not said, oh, He's not Jesus. No. But in denying His teaching, you deny the Lord. We realize that. If Jesus teaches explicitly on something, and we say that's not right, we deny the Lord. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. What if we say that's not true? That's not true. What are we doing? We're denying the Lord. And you know, there's people that believe that to be true, obeyed that, lived their life for that, and later on they decided they don't believe that anymore. They denied the Lord that bought them. And we could go into multitudes of different directions, but you get the point, right? People deny the Lord that bought them, and they bring on themselves swift destruction. He's not talking about swift, as soon as this happened, man, God's coming down and He's going to take them out right there. No, that's not what He's talking about. He's saying their destruction will be swift and complete. They'll pay for that. They'll pay for it. I don't want to be a part of that. He says, verse 2, many will follow their destructive ways. Many. That's sad, isn't it? Realize it's sad that people today, they don't have a real appetite for truth anymore. People don't like truth, do they? No. people used to like truth back in the 50s and 60s and all that, man. People wanted it. And you'd have gospel meetings with overflowing. And I can remember as a kid, we'd go to tent meetings and, man, people was hanging outside the big tents and people wanted truth and people were obeying the gospel. And it's hard to get a response from anybody anymore, isn't it? It's hard. Things have changed. People don't like truth. Many people want to follow those things that feel good and sound good. That's what they want. And that's sad. He says, because of that, the way of truth will be blasphemed. You know, if people who are a member of the Lord's church, they change. And they start following somebody else, and they start living like heathens. What does the world say about us? I'll pick on Ron Johnson right here. He looks like he can be picked on. He always picks on me. Let's just say Ron decides today's his last day. Today's his last day. He's not coming back. He's going to go out. He's going to live like a total heathen. I'm embarrassing him right now. I like this. He's going to live like a total heathen. But everybody knew that Ron was a member of this church. What are they going to say about this church? Peter says the church will be blasphemed because of that. A lot of people don't know the difference. People decide they don't believe what the Bible says anymore and they follow and do whatever they want to do. Well, the world doesn't know the difference. What they think is that person, oh, they claim to be a member at Willow Avenue. And look how they're living. And so therefore they blaspheme this whole congregation of the Lord's people. We've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. He says, verse 3, by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. I want to ask you something. These televangelists, what kind of houses they live in? What kind of cars they drive? I had a family member years ago. They would offer, say, you send us $25 and I'll send you this prayer cloth and, man, it'll fix your problems. You know what this family member would do? They'd send that $25. Man, they just couldn't get it in the mail fast enough because by covetousness. Do people still do that today? Do you have to be a televangelist to do that? No. Do you know there's a lot of these religions where the preacher, pastor, whatever you want to call him, he gets the collection. You didn't know that. He gets the collection. He takes what he wants and uses the rest for whatever he sees fit. Do you think that would be a motivation to try to grow your flock, if you will? If I'm going to get the contribution, you know what? Man, I want 1,000 people here, and I want you to all give $100 apiece, and I'm going to live good, right? Not trying to be mean, but seriously, do people do that? Yes. Do people like the power that comes with that? Yes. I had a wise old preacher tell me one time, he says, don't ever preach for money. Don't ever preach for money. I agree with that. Never have. Never charged anybody a dime. Pay me if you want to. If you don't. I don't care. Not why I do it. If that ever becomes why I do it, then what happens? Well, you got the ring in your nose sometimes, and you can be led to do what is needed to be done for that money. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And there's nothing wrong with paying anybody. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying sometimes there's a temptation to change the message to suit the masses to get the money. Temptation can be there. We got to be careful with that. He says, by covetousness, they will exploit you. What does it mean to exploit? It's to use a person for gain. That's what the word means. They will use you to get what they want, and they'll do that with deceptive words. Deceptive, in the Greek, is where we get our word plastic. What do we do with plastic? We mold it, right? People will take their words and they'll mold you to what they want you to be. Be careful of that. I appreciate your attention.